We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. It's opening day week. We're doing a bit of an emergency episode reaction slash, hey, it's just opening week, so we're going to be doing a crap ton of episodes now. In an unprecedented move, the Yankees have promoted top prospect Anthony Volpe to the majors. He will be in the Bronx on opening day. Scott, what did you think of our manager's acting performance?
The acting performance, I'll give him a B on that one. He definitely let it go at the end, but you could just tell the tension in the room with Volpe sitting there having no idea. He's one of these, you know, I'm putting my head down, grinding, whatever happens, happens. It doesn't seem like he, you know, thought too much about what the end result was going to be, because he was just trying to live in the moment and do the thing. But it was good, man. It was that video was awesome. I love seeing that. And I'm just so happy for this kid that he performed at such a high level in a pressure cooker. This from what they said was an open job. Did we all believe that? I don't know. I was hoping it was going to be the case that they would give the job to the guy that deserved it the most, and they should have, considering they were both rookies really that were going for it. But they did. They did it. And I think if there was a veteran player there that had more of a shot at that position, that we might have seen something different. But you had two rookies, so it would have been very difficult, I think, for them to not take the better guy at the moment from spring training.
Do you know why we didn't believe that it was really an open position?
Because it's never happened.
Because it's never happened before. It's been almost 30 years since they had this happen with Derek Jeter. Obviously, Derek Jeter won the job in 96 and was promoted, but he even had time in the majors. He made his major league debut in 1995. So, like, this is really unprecedented. It's the fourth youngest Yankee to make his debut on opening day. Mickey Mantle, 19 years old in 1951. Ben Chapman, 21 in 1930. Frank Crosetti, 21 years old in 32. And now Volpe, 21 years old in 2023. We're talking about 1930s, 1950s, like Mickey Mantle. Like, we're not all saying Anthony Volpe is the next Mickey Mantle, but we're also not saying that.
No, we're not saying that yet. How old was Jeter when he was up? Because he's the youngest since Jeter, right? That's been up. So
Jeter was 21 years, 281 days, and Volpe is 21, 336 days. So he's roughly 50 days or so older than...
You know, and I don't know if this goes into the criteria, but it just seems like it kind of does. Do you have to be a Yankees fan growing up to be position?
You have to have New Jersey ties. You have to have tri-state area ties.
Yeah, there needs to be some kind of a connection.
You need to be a Yankees fan growing up. You need to be a shortstop.
you know, a young Anthony Volpe and a young Derek Jeter, you know, resemble each other, looks even a little bit. Like you see so many things. The kid, the way that the kid carries himself just seems like a really nice guy. And you know, good stability, good family behind him that supported him the whole way. They had that moment in the dugout with everybody. It's just awesome to see. It's awesome that the Yankees are putting their confidence in a young prospect that is, you know, from all we've heard from everybody around the league, not just the New York Yankees, but this kid is the real deal. He was a highly touted prospect in the major leagues, not just on the Yankees organization. And that's a big difference because in the past, the Yankees have had their prospects, the top prospects in the Yankees organization, haven't really been top prospects in baseball. But Anthony Volpe is one of those guys. So the fact that they are, you know, giving him the opportunity here, it's great. I think it's great. You know, I feel a little bit, even though I've been talking about Volpe pretty much all spring, but Peraza did play his butt off. He's got an immense amount of talent, still a top prospect, and, you know, he'll start in AAA, but, you know, hopefully there's some good development for him. You know, riding the bench as a young guy like that doesn't make a lot of sense. So I understand why, you know, one of them had to be in AAA.
Did you catch Brian Cashman's face in the beginning of that video?
Just in the beginning. You went off camera after that. Yeah.
I don't know why maybe it's because
you have an obsession with Brian Cashman now. Yeah.
Since we did the history episode, but I just feel like there's always layers to Brian Cashman, and just like the look on his face for like what is obviously going to be an exciting moment, like the best moment in this kid's life up until this point in his life. And I know like Boone's doing the whole thing, like playing it up like he's going to get sent down to the minors and everything, so they're trying to trick him, which cool, like I guess that's just like, you know, rookie hazing shit or whatever. But like Brian Cashman's looking there, like I don't know, it's just a weird look. But this quote he did say: the obvious exclamation point here is Anthony Volpe came into camp and took this position. And at the beginning of spring training, we were talking about it needs to be undeniable. Unequivocally, Anthony Volpe needs to win the position. If it's close, they're going to send him back down to the minors. Because there was some truth into the stuff that Aaron Boone was saying when he said, you know, you've only got 20-something games in AAA. Like, yeah, that's a huge factor here that they overlooked because he played so well in order to promote him to the majors, which is, I'm so happy they did it. It's actually firing me up because this team never does stuff like that. It's always just status quo with this team. And finally, they're just like looking at what's in front of their face. And like, this kid is clearly the best option and they're taking it. But it needed to be undeniable. And it was. And like, even Cashman's like, well, I said it was and he proved it. So like, I can't go back on it now kind of thing.
No, they put them in a position where they had to choose the best player. And clearly the best player was this kid. You know, I think it does say something about AAA a little bit too. We've mentioned this in the past, where you have the biggest jump from single A to double A. You're getting a lot of top prospects are in double A. When you get to triple A, you get some journeymen, some 4A guys that have been there. It's just a different feel, the level of jump. It's just when I look at how he got the job and that he only had a few games in AAA. I'm just, you know, looking at the development process and how actually deeply they consider AAA experience in a top prospect. If you see good numbers in AA and then a short stint in AAA, how much does that really matter when you're a top prospect going in? And I don't think it matters a ton, to be honest. I think that, again, I've said this, the pitching is better in the major leagues. You're going to see more opportunities to put bat on ball, I think, in the major league. Yes, it's a higher quality of pitching, no doubt, but you're going to see a lot more strikes. You're going to see, you're going to get protection. There's going to be a lot of the things that you can get in AAA, but I think a higher quality of baseball in the majors, and I think that's a big consideration for top prospects.
He did play 22 games in AAA last year, and in AA, his strikeout percentage was 17.7%, and that jumped up to 30.3% in AAA. Yeah, granted, small sample size.
22 games.
I'm not like declaring, oh, he's going to strike out 30% in the major leagues. It will be interesting, though, to see how that develops over the course of the season, because a lot of times with rookie players is early in the season, they're seeing a lot of fastballs. Pitchers are attacking them because there's no tape on this guy. There's no scouting report on this guy. And then at some point throughout the season, once you've got stuff to study on a hitter, pitchers start to attack them differently. So I'm expecting Volpe to get off to a pretty good start offensively. And then at some point, call it June, July, he'll go through probably struggles because pitchers will be attacking him completely differently. And when you've got on the other side, like Justin Verlander attacking you differently, guess what? It's going to be hard to hit the ball.
Yeah. So the next adjustment for him, once he's getting up, I think you're right. He's going to get a lot of opportunity to get on base and put up decent numbers because let's just say he's in the nine spot, which is probably where he'll be. Yeah. 8-9 spot, maybe.
Low pressure.
Yeah. Low pressure, but you're also protected. You have protection from the top of the lineup there. So the opposing team doesn't want that lineup to turn over. They want to get you out. And probably their best opportunity to get you out is to pitch to you and put ball in play. Or have you chase. If they're throwing strikes, if you're not chasing, like it's going to be very important for him to be able to stay within himself, most cliche saying you could possibly have, and not chase. So his plate discipline.
Control the strike zone?
Control the strike zone. If he's able to stay within the strike zone and he's able to have, show good plate discipline early, it's going to be tough because they're going to give him strikes and then he's going to have opportunity to strike, with the bat. So it's going to be really interesting. And I think him in the ninth spot is intriguing. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch because with his talent, you know, he could do a lot of damage. He could make that ninth spot a very productive spot if he's getting, a lot of fastballs early in the count over the plate. Guys are going to want to get ahead of him. And then we'll see how he adjusts with staying in the moment and not chasing balls outside the zone, off speed, sweeping balls outside, you know, breaking away from him. We'll see how he can adjust to that.
That's where Jeter started too, hitting in the ninth spot in early in 96. And Jeter hit the home run on opening day. It was in Cleveland. And he made the nice over the shoulder catch, sort of just like everyone could breathe a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
And okay, this kid is real. So look for those moments. And also, I mean, what's the date before we just start to get nauseous with the amount of Jeter comparisons to Anthony?
Oh, it's, I mean, there's so many.
April 3rd? Is it April 3rd? Is it next week?
No, I hope he's able to tune all that out and just play baseball, but it's going to be right there. It's going to be right there. There's a lot of similarities in the way that things have transpired, I think. But it'll be really interesting. And, you know, the other piece, when they announced that he made the opening roster, but they didn't announce him as the starting shortstop. No. We had to wait a little bit further into the day.
Wouldn't that be some shit?
For Peraza. Yeah, well, for Peraza. I've started to see it on some graphics and stuff. And I don't know if the Yankees have actually said it, but
Thursday morning we get the lineup out. It's IKF batting ninth, playing shortstop. We're all just wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, well, but Peraza then was optioned to Scranton, and you know the writing on the wall here is he's the shortstop. So we'll see. There's a lot of, I know we're going to talk about this quickly, but with the Severino news, there's a massive need.
But with the Severino news, yet another starter going down, announcing Volpe making the opening day roster is the perfect distraction. Everyone's like, oh yes, the shiny new toy is here. The prospect everyone wanted to be the shortstop is actually the shortstop. Let's not worry about the fact that, what is it now? 4/5 of the rotation is dealing with injuries or coming back from something.
Yeah. No, it's, but that's, to me, that's, The things that we've discussed about who's on the block potentially and who's available to get some pitching depth. I mean, that is such a real thing now with Severino. It was a real thing before Sevy went down, but now that he's got a lat strain, he says he's going to miss 3 to 4. You know, he would be happy
it's
for that.
It's unreal.
Like every you're almost looking at 2 months probably.
5 years in a row, this guy has spent some time on the IL. Now, obviously, some of those seasons were completely lost. He spent the entire season there. But the entire length of that contract extension they gave Luis Severino, he has spent at least some time on the IL every season.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. It's crazy. Hopefully it's a month. And if it's a month, then great. You know, he's back. But they have to be careful with him because he gets injured. He gets injured in doing the things that he does every day. That's the problem. His body is not holding up to what he needs to be as a professional pitcher on the major league level. It's just his body is not holding up for the duration. It's not like other things are happening. It's not like he's running the base paths. He's not, you know, doing different things. He's pitching and getting injured pitching. That's a problem.
Well, so his start prior to the injury news, he was touching like 97, 98. And everyone was all excited, like Severino's velocity, it's the best it's been all spring. And then it's like, I'm not saying the lat injury is connected, but come on, like how can you not make that connection?
I mean, I don't know. It's he's still going through the same mechanics, whether he's throwing harder. I understand you're saying that he's throwing harder and something happens, but he's still going through the same motions. It's not like he's not throwing on off days as well. It's the same motions. He's still getting injured doing the same thing, whether you're throwing with a little more velocity or not, still the same motion.
So I just remembered. So we're going to do this next episode, but just a tease for this, revisiting our spring training awards. The Just Don't Get Injured award, we both said, or you said Severino. I said Stanton, actually. Okay, so you said Severino. So
there you go.
Oops.
Don't.
Before we
does that mean I got it right or didn't get it right? I think I got it. Nailed it then.
It's both good and bad. So before we talk about Severino in the rotation, you mentioned Peraza down in AAA, and is he on the block now to be traded for some pitching depth? I still think he has value. I mean, he never had as much value as Volpe. That was obvious, but I still think he has value. But it will be interesting to see what they do with his position if they continue to move him around just so he can have versatility when and if they need to call him up.
Yeah, but the versatility for him really is between, it's just up the middle, right? It's second base and shortstop. Is he going to they don't really need him at third.
No, because if Donaldson goes down, DJ would be the third baseman.
Even IKF would probably be on the pecking order ahead of the guys just because he won a gold glove at third base. People forget that he was not a shortstop when he came
people
in. He won
that.
Third base.
I forgot that.
Yeah. So that's another position. So, and you don't want to move him around too much and mess with his development as a infielder.
No, I think you do want to get him. I disagree. I think you want to get him reps at all three positions.
And he's not a third baseman.
Yeah, but like what does him playing third base 1 or 2 days a week, just so in case the Yankees need it, what harm does that at this point do for him?
Because it takes away from his development as a middle infielder. It's a very different position. There's no reason for him to be there. He would be fourth on the pecking order.
Okay.
And he doesn't have the offense for a third base position anyway. So it's not a long-term position for him. He's a middle infielder.
This move definitely, the Volpe news definitely got me juiced up for opening day.
Agreed. Same thing. I took Kem to a baseball game on Saturday. That was exciting for the inning and a half that he was into it. and then the rest
That's impressive, though. It's an inning and a half. That's pretty good.
Well, some aid was there with food and different little things. But then he just wants to go run around and roll up and down a hill. So it was fun. Got the juices flowing. I'm excited for this. The fact that Volpe's up, man, is huge. I'm proud of the Yankees organization. I'm proud of the organization.
Because
the kid showed the thing that they said was an open competition, and then they did the thing. They rewarded the guy who actually won it. And he's a young kid, service time be damned. You know, there's a number of things in here that the Yankees went against precedent because the guy won it. Now, I don't know. I think he made it very, very difficult on them in the last week just because so clearly he was the guy that they would have had to have some real reasoning why he wasn't the guy after saying that it was an open competition. And you can't say service time anymore. That's not something that you can talk about. So
it would have been a lot of backlash. Definitely a lot of backlash. And there would have been a lot of negativity going into opening day
around Peraza too, which would not have been fair.
No, but like negativity around first all of the injuries in the rotation, and then second, like you said, it's an open competition, and then you didn't stand by your word. Like that's just would have been really shitty to do.
Yeah,
it's gonna be cold on Thursday. We were looking at the weather beforehand, but it is gonna be sunny in the Bronx on opening day, and that means you need to be wearing your sunglasses. There is no better pair to wear than Shady Rays. Shady Rays is an amazing sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive brand you're gonna find. Their frames are durable, lenses have extremely clear optics, which are perfect for outdoor activities like golf, the beach, or watching a baseball game. You know, side note, I was skiing, not this past weekend, but the weekend before.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I saw Shady Rays ski goggles just like all over the mountain. Yeah. So they got sunglasses too.
Very cool, like big lens frames too for the sunglasses as well. But they have some goggles.
And if you've ever owned a pair of sunglasses in your life, you've probably broken them or lost them. You don't have to worry about that with Shady Rays because they will send you a new pair if you lose or break yours. No questions asked. Also, if you don't like the pair that you buy for some reason, you can exchange them for free within 30 days of purchase, which is absolutely huge because you're buying them online and you might not know how they look on your face until you get them in person. So that 30-day exchange policy is massive. Shady Rays is giving their best deal to our listeners. Go to shadyrays.com and use promo code Bronx for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Go check them out. I know you're going to love them. All right. Thank you to Shady Rays. And let's talk about quickly some other just roster notes before we talk about Seve. Kari reported Oswaldo Cabrera is definitely going to make the opening day roster. Obviously, no surprise there. Ron Marinaccio, Albert Abreu, and Jimmy Cordero make the roster in the bullpen. The bullpen depth obviously has some questions with Canley and Trevino on the IL. They're going to be relying on Clay Holmes, Wandy, and Michael King, who made his return. I was watching the game yesterday, Sunday. Michael King looked pretty good in that return. He's made two appearances. I believe it's been two appearances since coming back from elbow surgery. They're probably going to ramp him up slowly, but that'll be great to see. And then the last spot is still up for grabs, but Matt Crook, who we said would win that job, was sent to AAA, which means Weissert will probably get that spot.
Yeah, I think that it's Weissert, they're a known quantity there, so they'll give him the job. He's kind of a bulldog. Hopefully he can pitch well. But those guys that you mentioned are going to be so very important because of the starting rotation being injured as well. So like these guys are going to be relied upon, especially early in the season. And I'm sure there will be guys up and down. So we'll see some active trials, I think, with some of these guys.
And the last bench spot, we'll see. I mean, obviously they didn't need Peraza in that spot because that'd just be too many infielders. So looking at an outfielder of some kind for depth.
Yep. No, no doubt. And I think, there's some interesting ones like Calhoun's almost playing himself into a very possible roster spot. You look at him and some of his production in the past, like he's an intriguing guy. But he does have the option, right? He can get out if he's designated. He can opt out of his contract. Yeah, to opt out. So that'll be interesting because I think he's put enough tape up in the spring for another team to be interested and you know carry him as a fourth, fifth outfielder. I think he's done enough. Whether it's on this team or another team, I think he's going to get a major league opportunity. So I think that they would, if they like him, they're going to have to protect him.
Go ahead, Logan.
There's also one slightly elephant in the room. Estevan Florial has no options. So right. Is he just going to get that spot by default or are they going to cut him? They haven't cut him yet.
I don't think that it makes a difference. I think...
Well, fair enough. But a guy like Calhoun, a guy like Ortega can't make the roster. They can't stash any of these guys, I don't think.
Yeah, but no, what not value does stash of, from these guys
because
have?
Of him. No, it's not stashing depth. Necessarily. It's depth. It's making sure that you can't control who's going to stay on your roster in AAA at that point. So
nobody in AAA. Like there's no like outfield like even like fringe prospects. I mean, like Billy McKinney is going to be down there. I think like that. You know, if there's an injury, you could call up. Like these guys would be important. They're already thin in the outfield.
Yeah, and maybe there's an opportunity there. And that's why they are playing IKF in the outfield.
Right, but
his value becomes that much more important.
Absolutely, but I mean, you know. Looking past IKF because he's already on the team, you know, Florial, you know, is Florial going to be a defensive replacement runner? I mean, he probably serves that role better than Ortega or Calhoun anyways.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you got to look defense in that position, you know, offense be damned. I think at that point you need guys that can play all three positions in the outfield. And Florial is a plus defender. He's got plus speed. So it makes it, but you're right. They can't protect it more than one of those guys.
I don't know. So I don't know if they can protect Ortega. Like, I think they might be able to get him into the minors. I don't think they can get Calhoun into the minors, but I think
Calhoun's going to get a job. Yeah.
I think Calhoun's going to get a job also.
And someone will definitely take a shot on Florial, no doubt.
We're also, if they DFA him, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Is there a move between now and opening day or even within the first week or two of the season? Of a piece being moved off the major league roster.
Like, yes. I mean, there has to be. Well, they have to move stuff around to get Volpe on, but they can do that with injuries. No,
they're going to move guys to the 60-day IL.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, I mean, there usually is. I think when you start seeing that last round of cuts is when you start to see GMs get active on the wire, or they're talking to guys that they know are about to get cut, and they'll do something for cash or sent down for cash, things like that. So yeah, I think that there certainly will be something, especially on the pitching side. I think we're going to see a starter get added, and then maybe some depth in the
right. Outfield. Even if they just take Floreal, like they've done that with like guys like, remember when they traded Jake Cave was like, yeah, a guy they traded for Luis Gil, like right at the end. They've traded for Trevino at the end. They traded for Talkman at the end, like just like depth optionable players.
A Talkman reunion?
I'm all right? in. Yeah, no, he's with the Cubs.
Is
no,
he?
He's with the Cubs.
He came back?
Yeah, this year. He's in the minors with the Cubs, okay. I think. Right. I got a notification like randomly on my phone, like he hit a 3-1
home run in a spring thing. Talkman notifications?
No. I have probably Dodger notifications on for whatever reason. And popped up and I was like, oh.
Listen up, everybody, especially you guys out there. I've got a special offer to tell you about, the newest addition to your daily self-care routine. Are you ready to get back into your routine this baseball season? Do you shower? How about brush your teeth? Come on, I know you do all of those things. You probably also manscaped to keep the ladies in your life happy. And there's no shame in that. Self-care is cool and something to be proud of. That's why you need to add Sword Vitality Excalibur to your daily routine as well. Sword Vitality Excalibur can encourage optimal sexual health by increasing blood flow to help you thrive when it matters. Trust me, you might think your girl is happy, but what if she could be even happier? This 30-day regimen designed to benefit your reproductive function can help maintain a healthy libido and stamina. I mean, who doesn't want to last longer? The fact of the matter is that 40% of men experience impotence at age 40, and nearly 70% of men by age 70. It is time to take control of your sexual health. Stop buying sketchy pills at the gas station or hiding that little blue pill in your sock drawer. Get Sword Vitality instead. This is a product to be proud of. It looks good on the shelf, it sure as hell feels good, and it shows your partner that you care about them. Add Sword Vitality to your pregame, and you'll always be ready for game time. Visit swordvitality.com and use promo code BRONX21 at checkout for a nice discount. That's swordvitality.com, promo code BRONX21. That discount won't be the only nice thing you're getting.
So we already mentioned Severino, right lat strain. He told reporters he would feel blessed if he only misses 3 or 4 starts. So yeah, I think we'd all feel blessed, Severino, if you only miss a month of the season. Like I said, 5 years in a row for him. The rotation at some point, when was the Frankie Montas injury announced? That was like over the
It was announced break, right? In July of 2022.
But I don't remember exactly when it was announced. But let's 2 days before that was announced, our rotation in Yankees fans' minds was Gerrit Cole, Carlos Rodon, Luis Severino, Nestor Cortes, and Frankie Montas. Fast forward to opening day, and it's going to be Gerrit Cole, Clark Schmidt, Johnny Brito, Nestor Cortes, and Domingo Germán. Holy crap!
Yeah, holy crap is right. That's crazy. The fact that hey, Johnny Brito coming out and throwing 5 1/3,
beautiful, yeah. Love it.
So
number 3 starter, baby.
Giving opportunities to guys that didn't think they'd have opportunities, but always prepared, right? Always prepared. No, it's not great. It's not great at all. The first month of the season is going to be a roller coaster on the pitching side, I think. And we need Gerrit Cole to be that lockdown guy early in the season now too, so that the Yankees don't get off to a bad start, because it's going to be a challenge for you know, the bats got to come early, and these pitchers have to make sure that they're able to keep in games. But it's going to be a challenge. I really do. I think this first month of the season is going to be something that, you know, you don't win or lose a season in April. But goddamn, is it going to be tough with the amount of pitching that has been lost already.
That's obviously a concern, is the rotation in the first month of the season. But like, we're looking long term at this rotation. And how do you have confidence that any of these guys can stay healthy? I mean, Cole's been healthy, right? Cole's durable. That's yeah. Honestly, and this is not a knock on Cole, like, what is the saying? Availability is the most, how does that saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Availability is the best.
Availability is a privilege.
Yeah. Availability is a privilege. Cole is always available. And for that, I love him. The rest of these guys, who the hell knows?
No, who knows? Yeah. I mean, even with Nestor coming in, off of an injury too. So one of these guys,
exactly.
Burrito, I have no idea if he's been injured in the past. Maybe. Has he? We should look up his injury history and see where that lies. This is why I think Cashman's going to make another move. And the problem is that making a move for pitching, starting pitching, is not an easy thing to do at this point. No, rosters are pretty much locked
in. No one's giving up starting pitching the week before opening day.
You're getting a guy that's not making the roster or doesn't have options or something like that. So that's what you're getting at this point. And that's probably not a desirable option for anybody because it's going to be like a Ryan Weber type, if not Ryan Weber for the 19th time.
So Schmidt is expected to pitch Monday afternoon. We're recording this Monday morning, which would line him up to pitch the second game of the season. Nestor is scheduled to pitch the Yankees' final spring training game against the Nationals, which will be in DC, which lines him up for the fourth game of the season. And then that would mean Domingo Germán is the number five starter. Honestly, none of two, three, four, five, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just those are the five guys going into the year. And it's like I was thinking about this. So this is now, I mean, if we draw the line at the Frankie Montas acquisition to bolster the rotation, literally like everything has gone wrong for this Yankees rotation. And now, is that bad luck? Or is that poor analysis of these players? Like poor health management of Luis Severino? Like Luis Severino has spent five straight years with time on the IL. Yeah, I'm sure that's partially his fault, but like
partially clearly his body is not holding up. That many times. I'm not blaming anybody on the training staff. I'm not blaming
you're not looking at the training staff at all.
No, I think it's hard to blame anybody. His body is failing him. His body is breaking down at certain points.
So then should the Yankees that's just have a thing. Not like picked up his $15 million option?
Well, no, I think that's a risk you certainly take because of the upside of a Luis Severino. But it's obviously his
somebody
body.
Else more durable in the rotation for that $15 million.
Because you could fill someone if you're just durable and not good. Like you could fill it. They're going to have bodies there that starting spot will get filled by whoever you want. It's just a matter of you want the upside. You don't want a jag going in there and securing your season to a guy like that. You clearly want to have the best talent out there, and he's a superior talent. Just can't stay on the field, unfortunately, and it's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate because he's so freaking talented.
And Ilya just put in our chat, the amount of guys, rotation depth pieces that they've traded over the past year.
Yeah.
Between Wesnecki, Waldichuk, and JP Sears, and Jordan Montgomery as well.
Uh-huh. And a few of those guys are starting in rotations as well, right? Like all of them. Yeah. So it's not a great look when you see who's been, especially when you look at that Frankie Montas deal and you see who was given up that could have been served. For very, very valuable depth pieces for the Yankees this year. But they're thin. They're thin on the guys who I think are ready to go. I mean, you're looking at Davy Garcia as well as someone who they believe has come, fought back this year and played, you know, much better executing his pitches.
They might
have
nowhere else to turn.
But they don't have anywhere else to turn. Yeah. Like he's a name. He's a name down there, but you're not going to see very many other guys that are going to bring a ton of hope.
All right, so we're a couple days away from opening day. I've already recorded the White Sox / AL Central preview. That'll be coming out at some point over the next week, and we've got seven more previews that we're recording this week. I feel like my calendar is just packed with preview episodes to record. And so stay tuned for all of that stuff. Scott and I will be recording again Wednesday morning to do bold predictions, which is always fun. And a look back at our spring training awards. And I'm sure we'll have the final bit of roster news getting ready for opening day. Scott, any last words?
No, it's a big week. It's going. So I'm excited to see what Cashman does this week. And I'm excited to see Volpe trot out there to that shortstop position. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.